Hey everyone, welcome to Founders 365 with me, Stephen Haggerty. Today I'm joined by the co-founder and CEO of Jar Audio, Mr. Roger Nairn. I told you I'd butcher it.
That's
but
fine.
We got there.
Hey Steve, how you doing?
I'm very well, Roger. How are you doing? Thank you so much for being here. And actually, one thing I didn't ask you before the show, do you say Jar Audio or J-A-R Audio?
Jar Audio.
Jar Audio, amazing, great.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really interesting for me because what you do is sort of obviously all in the podcasting space, and this is what this is. So I'm sure we can have some great conversation about just how the podcasting world in the last, 18 months, let's say.
It's been, for us, it feels like just yesterday, but yeah, good 18 months, 2 years, it's absolutely exploded.
Exactly. It seems like every man and their dog, and I'm sure there are literally just dog podcasts out there now. Totally. I mean, if there isn't, I'm sure that could be an amazing niche, actually.
So that's actually what I've come on to promote.
Podcast for when you leave your dog at home. There we go. Yeah. But how? Let's just go back in time a little bit, and if you can just explain, obviously, how Jar Audio came about, mm-hmm. and then we can get into the nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah. So I come from the advertising world, and I've spent my career in advertising agencies. Born and raised here in Vancouver, Canada, and when I graduated college, got into the advertising world. My first agency was a small little one called Spring. Helped grow the company, and then left and went to DDB, which is known worldwide as one of the largest, if not, it has some of the richest history when it comes to agencies. And when I joined DDB Vancouver, we were the top in Canada at the time, and one of the best in North America. We were winning all the awards, working with some absolutely incredible clients. And I really got a chance to hone my skills in client service, which is where I've always worked in with DDB. Got a chance to launch Netflix in the country, worked with big, great customer service brands like Amazing. Nordstrom. And then, from there, I moved on to another agency called Cossette, which at the time was one of the top agencies in Canada as well. And so I had this great career in client service in the advertising world, but always had that entrepreneurial bug, inside
the itch that was never quite scratched.
The itch, exactly. And when I sat down and kind of, wrote that list of, ideas and opportunities, I obviously wanted to be in something that I had a lot of passion for. And at the time, I was really passionate about podcasts. I had had a few of my own that were just purely, just done for fun for myself. It was a hobby. I always say that I started those podcasts to give me an opportunity to just meet incredible people, mm-hmm. and get a chance to, have really great conversations with them. But then when I thought, if I'm going to start a business, how could I, get into something that is in podcasts, but also still blends my, my agency experience and career and my love of the marketing world. And that's where the idea for Jar Audio came up. So at the time, I was lucky enough to bump into a few friends, my two co-founders. So Jen Moss comes from a few decades in the journalism world. She was a journalist with CBC, which is Canada's sort of most well-known media entity. Mm-hmm. And then my other partner, Aaron, came from the broadcasting world, both in traditional and digital broadcasting, and is an audio specialist. And we sat down and we thought, what if we could take our skills collectively between the three of us and start a company that essentially is a production studio that only works exclusively with brands? At the time, podcasting was starting to ramp up. Brands were getting involved, but quite honestly, they were doing a really poor job of it. And so we thought we could fill that opportunity up and offer ourselves, essentially as a advertising agency. That's our model, that just happens to only make podcasts. And that's where we're at today.
Amazing. I love that story. And it sounds like the three of you have just got the perfect mix of skills for Jar Audio, which I'm guessing that's exactly why you guys sort of went ahead with it, right?
Yeah, but, and it's really, you know, it's really exciting to come to work and get, you know, and not have to spread yourself too thin. You know, you get to focus on what your, you know, your strengths are.
Yeah. How, let's talk about sort of those initial days then. You, the three of you got together, you obviously brainstormed this idea and you thought, actually, this is what we should be doing. This is what we should be focusing some of our time on. What were those early days like? Because there's not many, from what I've seen anyway, there's not many solely focused, if we call it, like you said, that advertising agency solely focused on podcasting. Mm-hmm. There's, I think you are probably one of the very few of them around, if maybe the only one. How were those early days just speaking to brands and I'm guessing you're still having to educate them because, like you said, they were doing it so badly and still are.
I love the origin story of our company, and I think it's you know, I think the listeners will as well. So I was one of those guys that had toyed around with starting companies in the past. You know, there was a point where I wanted to start my own custom dress shirt company that was purely online. I mean, fast forward today, and it's actually a great idea. And, you know, companies like Indochino have been killing it, doing it.
What were you going to call the dress shirt company?
It was called Order and Flux. And it's funny you mentioned the name because I stressed out over the name and the identity and everything around the company. I stressed out about that for about a year. And I fiddled. And it dawned on me that, like, I'm doing anything but actually starting a business. Right. I'm stressed out,
but actually you procrastinated for a year.
Exactly. It's procrastinating. And I had done that a few other times with other businesses as well. So when I sat down with Jen and Aaron, I put a bit of a stake in the ground. And I said, listen, I'm not going to start a company unless we can literally put the minimum viable product out in market and see if there's interest. And from there, we'll go forward and we'll slowly start building organically like that. And we all agreed, that sounds like a great idea. So I went home that night. I crafted a two paragraph note that I then sent to 10 people on LinkedIn. And within a couple hours, I got a response back from a guy who I was connected with. He said, "It's so interesting. You sent this. My wife works for a company. They're looking to do their own podcast. She's wondering if you guys can come in tomorrow and speak with them." And I said, "Sure, great." I totally had no plan whatsoever as to what that meeting was going to be like, but you know. Jen, my partner, and she's our creative director, and I showed up. We had a conversation with them. We talked about, you know, what's possible, in the, you know, from a podcast perspective, where that sort of intersection between brand and storytelling and a podcast, you know, needs to be. And their response was, "Great, send us an estimate." And we literally had to figure out the pricing in the car on the way back. And then I got an email that night and they said, you know, "We've never actually talked about this, but what's your name? What's the name of your company?" we didn't have a name. And so it's funny you asked, you know, how do you is it called Jar Audio or is it J-A-R? Well, Stephen, Jar Audio, J-A-R stands for Jen, Aaron, and Roger. And I, you know, my other partner, Aaron, he said, "What about Jar?" And we said, "Look, that's kind of cool. We, you know, I like that." And so we put forth that name Jar. It now drives me crazy knowing that it's an acronym because I absolutely hate the idea of it being an acronym.
Well, you can just say something like it's unlocking the potential, or, you know,
things like that. And jars are, you know, jars contain, you know, precious things. And
we contain.
Yeah.
We ferment. I don't want to use that word, do you? We ferment your brand online. Totally. But I love that. And the thing is, I've heard similar stories about that with founders, and really just, like you said, putting your stake in the sand and throwing yourself into it. And those 10 messages and that one, it only took that one person to reply to you in that meeting next day for you guys to essentially not only validate your ideas, but also, you know, in a real honest approach, you were instantly being held accountable from someone, from a client that wanted your services. And if you can't do it then, you probably would never have done it if we're completely honest.
Totally. And I think, you know, that got us off to a really great start, and it really sort of cemented this sort of idea of building the company organically from the very mm-hmm. beginning. And it's not to say that, you know, we don't have a proper plan for how we want to grow the company, but we're also stepping into all of our opportunities a little bit more with, you know, with a little bit more of a growth mindset and kind of looking at things from a bunch of different angles and not staying too rigid in what yeah. we do. We still have our main product offering, but we're also open to just seeing where's this company going to go
and see what happens
and how's it going to grow and all those sorts of things, which yeah. I think takes a lot less pressure. It takes a lot of the pressure off us. It takes a lot of the pressure off me as the CEO. yeah. But also, like, you know, we're being mindful of the general direction we want the company to go. We just try a bunch of different things along the way.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're having a lot of fun doing it as well, which
is great.
Awesome. So let's talk. I mean, we have to talk about the podcasting world in general because this is what you guys know. And like cool. I said at the beginning, it has completely exploded over the last 18 months, 2 years. Mm-hmm. But from where you sit and those conversations you're having with brands, where are you seeing sort of the biggest opportunities now? Because from where I sit, there's like lots of different, I would say there's like three tiers of quality, right? There's the mm-hmm. the quality of being recorded in someone's car and, you know, just not very great, but that doesn't really matter because they could have an incredible story. But then you have the flip side of people going ridiculously great on the technology and the equipment side, mm-hmm. but not having the storytelling aspect. So mm-hmm. when you work with brands or when you're speaking to brands, what sort of turns them on a podcast, right? What gets them excited yeah. about that? And how I'm guessing, how do you communicate with that to them?
Yeah, and it's a good question. And you would ask this, you know, you had mentioned this earlier, you know, there has to be a lot of education involved. We have had to do a lot of that, more than we probably expected, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So what gets brands excited is mostly, you know, marketers these days rarely struggle to capture people's attention and actually reach them, you know, with all the different digital technology these days. You're pretty much guaranteed to get a certain number of impressions and even, you know, clicks and all that sort of stuff. Where marketers are struggling is actually keeping that attention and holding them in their marketing funnel for as long as possible. You know, there's so much more competition. Everybody's vying for your attention. Customers are much less loyal than they've ever been, especially when it comes to, you know, different service brands and things like that.
It's a noisy old world out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously the idea of content marketing is not new. But where they see the value in podcasts is you're essentially, creating and capturing an audience. And if you do your job right, and you know, by that we mean you produce a good show, you know, it's going to keep that audience's attention. They're going to subscribe. Mm-hmm. They're going to want more. They're going to, you know, they're going to stay with you. And the data is amazing. Like, our shows that we produce for our clients at Jar Audio, we see on average about a 90 to 95%. And actually, I just saw this morning, a couple of them are at 100% engagement rate through the episode. So on a 20 to 30 minute episode, we're capturing the audience's attention and keeping them engaged through that whole episode. That's crazy from a marketing medium standpoint. Mm. And to give you an example, like the average YouTube video, the average 1 minute YouTube video, it has about a 50% watch through rate.
Huge difference.
And so, you know, when we look at podcasts, and to us it makes sense, but this is the part we're having to do a lot of education around is, you know, podcasting is such an intimate medium. You know, it's literally you're whispering in someone's ears, like you know, and to be able to be the brand that is whispering into your ear over the course of a 20 to 30 minute episode, not talking a lot about the brand at all, you know, keeping it very, very high level. You know, we always talk about being, you know, story first, brand second.
Yeah.
So if you're telling a great story that is entertaining, or perhaps it's helpful to the listener, it's teaching them something, you know, and then it just happens to be brought to you by XYZ brand, that's that perfect sort of intersection of brand and storytelling. Then you're going to get the listener wanting more. And understanding who that listener is paramount, so that we can be creating content to, you know, be as much value to them as possible. And so that's where brands really get excited. And then there's other reasons too. You know, brands are seeing podcasting as a great opportunity to speak to their staff, big, you know, large organizations. Like Lululemon, one of our clients, they produce a podcast, or we produce a podcast for them that is pushed out internally just to their staff.
Oh, interesting.
And it's an opportunity for them to, you know, to communicate in a different, engaging way.
Yeah.
And then also brands are seeing podcasts as an opportunity to reach a new audience. You know, it's, you know, very unique audience podcast, you know, the podcast listener is. And so depending on, you know, what you're trying to do from a brand strategy standpoint, getting into the podcast world allows them to, you know, to tap into an audience that they might never have done before.
Yeah, I completely agree. One thing I'm curious to get your wisdom on, let's put it that way, is the way I look at podcasting, more so before the last 18 months to 2 years, let's put it that way, was it really was that whispering in your ear. You know, you dedicated time to it. You really got, like, everyone remembers season one of Serial, right?
Mm-hmm,
People got so involved into that story that it didn't even feel like there was a commercial aspect of the podcasting world.
Yeah.
Fast forward to, you know, what are we, October 2020. This year, obviously, Joe Rogan signed, what, $150 million deal with Spotify. Mm-hmm. Brands are getting more and more into the podcasting world, just more and more sponsorships coming up. There's services to get sponsorship on podcasts at any level as well. You know, you could have two listeners and someone will probably sponsor you in some level. But is there a danger of that? Because I think it's almost like the YouTube side of things. Back when YouTube, in the earlier days, it was those real authentic content creators that just wanted to share their story or share part of their journey or projects, that kind of thing. And now obviously YouTube is this commercial powerhouse, which obviously it has to be, let's be frank, but it's also lost some of that uniqueness, lost some of that that intimate side of things we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Is there a danger in your view, and it might be a little bit of a tricky question for you to answer because you work so closely with brands, but is there a danger in your view that the podcasting world could become like that? Because at the moment, it's obviously a low barrier to entry, and it's still, there are some amazing podcasts out there.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. And I think the answer is yes, there is a danger to it. Much like when you commercialize anything else, there's always that danger. What we try to do with our clients is really pound in to their heads the idea of focusing on the listener and delivering as much value as possible, because because our shows are brought to you by a brand, listeners, whether they, you know, see it or not, are going to come in with a little bit of a skeptical, you know, nature to it already. And so for us to then be selling them, you know, laundry detergent and airline tickets, you know, it's going to, plus nobody just wants to listen to a 30-minute ad. Like not something that's enjoyable. And that's coming from an ad guy. but if, you know, and so we actually have to elevate the value, you know, the value exchange. And so really honing in on, like, what does that audience need and what can we deliver to help them? And so, you know, you look at a client like ours at Expedia, where we do the Out Travel the System podcast. That's actually based on looking at their data, looking at the questions that travelers are asking of the, you know, of the travel world, and then turning around and providing episodes that essentially answer those questions and just delivering a ton of value. You know, how do I go to Disneyland with a family of four for under $2,000?
Yeah.
boom, episode on that. How do I travel? What's the best way to travel in North America when you're traveling solo? Mm-hmm. Episode on that. How do I visit, all the world's, how do I visit all the,
just bang on whatever those people, the listeners want, they can rustle it up.
I think that the whole thing falls apart when brands get involved and just make it all about them. Mm. And so, I mean, there's only so much we can do, but we, try to be those guardians at the gates to make sure that that doesn't happen in anything that we get involved with.
But it comes back down to that education side, isn't it?
Exactly.
Educating the brands, but also on the flip side, we have to talk about the content creators, because I think people go into content creation world and know that there's money to be made, there's sponsorships to be had. How can you be, or what's the best way to educate content creators to make sure that story is still being told in that right way, but they are actually getting something out of it as well, because time and energy, all these other aspects that come into it?
Well, I guess, it all comes down to what their objectives are. And at the base level, they want people to listen to their podcast. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to listen to a podcast that's bad, that isn't done well. And to be clear, like, done well, as much as we say, you should have the best audio quality and you absolutely should, it's going to make a better listening experience. Like, you can tell a really great story with really poor audio. Mm. You can have a really great interview with really poor audio. We don't recommend it, and it kind of gives us hives, but
you start twitching when you hear it.
At bare minimum, don't waste the listener's time and tell a poor story or have a boring conversation. For those that are looking to enter the business, I'd say kind of look less within themselves and more towards the audience that they're looking to serve. Otherwise, what's the point? Is that a good answer?
That's a great answer, because I do think that content creators, not just in the podcast and platform, but just in general, should be asking themselves that question. They should be asking themselves, what is the point of this? What is this going to give someone? Because I think people do it I completely understand why as well, because they want to do it and they want to feel good about it and all that kind of stuff. But then actually, if you do something from that place of giving and knowing what listeners want and or viewership want, then what you're going to get back as a content creator is going to be far greater than any show or a video that has low listenership and viewership.
Yeah. And Steve, like, when we're talking to a client, we are always having to remind them that, yes, it's a podcast, but in your case, it's a marketing medium, mm-hmm. and it has to perform. And in order for it to perform, it has to be listened to. And in order for it to be listened to, it has to be good. And in order for it to be good, we have to apply these sorts of principles and all these sorts of things. And I think that that's also applicable to your everyday kind of hobby podcaster as well. Like, if you want people to listen, it needs to be good. And if it needs to be good, then there are some principles you need to apply. Like, when we're creating the show and we're in, in the edit, we're looking at it from the standpoint of, how can we keep the listener as engaged as possible? Yeah. How can we keep their brain locked into the episode and refreshed and keep, because that's to us going to result in a longer listen through rate, and that's going to result in a higher performing podcast mm-hmm. for the client. And so we'll apply, different sound effects or different signposts along the way, or, opportunities to kind of remind the listener who the guest is that they're listening to. And like, there's all sorts of, different tactics you can apply. But at minimum, just, be thinking to yourself, like, would I listen to this? Is this interesting? Yeah. Is this worth my time?
Is there a story? Is there that storyline that we all love, right? We all love the classic hero's journey sort of setup of a story.
Joseph Campbell.
Exactly. Love it. For you, Roger, with Jar Audio, what's next? What's coming up for you guys? Because it sounds like you've started off on the right foot, which is a great way to start. You're working with amazing clients. I suspect you're probably learning a ton of a lot still and always learning.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that you kind of open to where the business goes, but in the short term, what's coming up for you guys?
Yeah. So we're looking for our next, you know, next group of clients, looking to grow the agency. You know, the beautiful part about what we do is we're entirely remote. We built the company that way so that we can be as flexible as possible. So our clients can really come from anywhere around the world. And we also build our teams flexibly as well. So when we start a new project, we find and assign a writer, producer, and an editor to every show, and those people can be anywhere around the world. And so we're looking for new clients. You know, our kind of ideal client is sort of the Fortune 500 type in size, kind of Inc. 5000 business. You know, not only has great stories to tell, but I think the biggest piece that we look for in a new client is, do they have a level of creative bravery? And if they do, we feel comfortable that we'll be able to put together a good show for them. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for that. And, you know, we're always looking for new clients. It's what excites us the most about this sort of business, you know, aside from the podcasting side, is we just get an opportunity to work with really great, great big brands.
I love the phrase creative bravery. Mm. I think that is a phrase that you can really tell when people are kind of putting their neck out on the line, doing something that is a little bit away from the different, away from other people. One of my final questions to you, Roger, on that basis is what bits of advice could you give content creators to be more brave, to have that creativity behind them?
Well, I think first of all, there's a great quote actually from Ira Glass, who you know, of This American Life, very, very famous radio show, now podcast, and he talks about, it's a long quote, so I won't recite it, but he talks a lot about how, you know, the only way to really hone your craft is to just make more stuff and just keep making more stuff and putting it out. And at first it's going to be bad, and you know, it's bad, and it's going to drive you crazy that it's bad, but you know, you just keep building and building and building, and you know, when it's right and wrong. And really what, you know, the crux of what he's saying is that you just have to get started and do it. And it's very much similar to how we built the business. Is I'm a big fan of Seth Godin, and I always forget the name of the book, but I think it's Lynchpin. He talks about how, you know, whatever you're building doesn't really exist until you ship it. You put it out in the world. And I look at content creation as the same way. Should you take it seriously? Absolutely. Like, should you want it to be perfect? Definitely. Is it going to be perfect? No. Yeah. But just put it out there, start, you know, get feedback, focus on your audience, and just keep going. You know, I think creativity is like a muscle, and the more you flex it, the bigger, stronger it gets.
Yeah. I mean, when you were just saying that, for some reason, my brain went to a really sad place thinking about how many amazing shows and podcasts and things that people just haven't released and haven't put on that ship, as it were. And I hope that through just as we evolve and as time evolve and as podcasts evolve, people will get more comfortable doing that, being a creative bravery, have that creativity bravery, which is I love. So Roger, listen, my final question is, how can people find out more about you, man? How can people find out more about Jar Audio?
Yeah, check out jaraudio.com. Right now we are having bi-weekly webinars as well, so I encourage you to register for the webinar. The webinar is called 10 Reasons Why Brands Are Embracing Podcasts. We dig into all those reasons, plus we share some tips on getting started yourself from a company standpoint. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. You know, we're on Facebook as well, so come check us out. Yeah, and check out some of our shows. So we've got Out Travel the System by Expedia. We have RBC Disruptors, Van Cities, Good Money Podcast, as well as Port of Vancouver does a great show called Breaking Bottlenecks. So check out our site for more information about those shows and give them a listen.
Love it. Roger, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for all your comments. I think I've thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and now I'm obviously thinking, I'm hoping the listeners have as well, but no doubt they have.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, Roger, and thanks everyone else for listening and watching. This has been Founders 365.